You're listening live to Right Side Radio with Phil Williams. It's hard to go wrong when you're on the right side. Right Side Radio, solid, conservative, and just plain right.
Alabama's syndicated news talk leader, Right Side Radio. Phil Williams here live in the Right Side studios. We got the local, the state, the national man. We cover down on all the issues and, like the dude just said, solid conservative and just plain right. Well, we're in this section of the Triple Dipper we call woke education, and it's just amazing to me looking at the number of people that go on to TikTok or wherever else, and they openly confess, hey, I'm doing these sneaky things with kids, making sure the parents don't know. And you're thinking, man, if you're an ideologue, go out and volunteer for the Human Rights Campaign or some other organization, but stop using my government tax dollars to pretend you're teaching my kids when all you're really doing is trying to indoctrinate them. Well, one of the things that came up most recently, and I touched on it before the top of the hour, was that in October of this year, 1819 News helped break a story with Libs of TikTok's help. About a drag queen story hour that occurred in Huntsville, in which a Huntsville school teacher literally made some sexual innuendos in the presence of children while dressed in drag. And you look at the whole thing and go, my gosh, back in the classroom 2 weeks later. Well, he's back in the news again today. 1819 News broke the story. Craig Monger is the author of the story. He's with us right now on the phone. Craig, how you doing today, man?
Oh, I am doing just swell, Phil. How are you?
I'm good, man. I'm good. Thanks. So this guy, James Miller, teacher in Huntsville, you tracked down some more information on him. Talk about it.
Yeah, I came upon a podcast that he had done. Actually, he had done it in February of this year before everything sort of popped off in the media and he got put in the limelight. It was a interview that he did with a gentleman who's also known for his drag performances in the South, and they were discussing they discussed a number of things. They discussed Miller's history, what he did, and the confrontations that he's had with people that have come to protest the events that he puts on in Huntsville. He does quite a few of them, from what I've seen. And in the midst of that, he discussed his role as a teacher, in which he said pretty plainly that he was in a quote redneck school that wouldn't put up with some of the things that he wanted to teach and communicate with the students. So he decided to covertly and strategically, his words, place certain materials in the schoolroom, including books about LGBTQ plus issues, some pride advocacy stuff, rainbow flags, the name of the organization.
Yeah, it was Human Rights Campaign. It was Human Rights Campaign.
Oh, yeah, it was Human Rights Campaign. Yeah. Okay, I lose track of the three-letter acronyms at some point. But yeah, the equal sign. So he just talked about putting that up, and he made some jokes about the ignorance of the parents, students, or both. It's kind of ambiguous, who didn't know what the symbols meant. So he was clearly talking about trying to very covertly get this sort of material into his classroom. And then he obviously talked about moving to being a elementary school counselor, wherein he worked with two-year-olds that he said second graders, who he said were transgender and were able to articulate that fact. So it was a lot of interesting information.
Well, it's interesting, but it's also just amazing to me. This guy is literally on a podcast disparaging the students, disparaging the parents, and some of the language he used, and you quoted it, was not just like insulting. It was crude language to describe his thoughts about those parents who couldn't understand how the secret symbols he was placing in his room. And one of the things that really struck me, though, was he actually says, you know, I had to move to a rural redneck school. And so right off the bat, he is literally labeling the school as a bunch of people that he found to be lower than him, and yet he's the one who is basically using his ideologies to be promoted in the classroom more than he's teaching, it seems like.
His contempt for a number of people was blatantly obvious in the audio. If you go and listen to it, it was kind of a ponderous listen. I'm not a fan of the campy affectation that gets put on in those sorts of environments. But yeah, he clearly saw people that did not share his fondness for being receptive to these types of things. He treated them with a significant amount of contempt, up to and including laughing and praising the assault, by the way, of one of the protesters. He was probably evidently a well-known guy, at least to him in the area, who he was known for protesting at abortion clinics and protesting at these drag queen events.
Wow.
And apparently there's a video somewhere of him, of a woman really trying to beat him up, and him and the host had a good laugh about that, whereas like a few minutes before they were opining their own fear at violence at their event. So the irony was not lost on me.
Well, let me ask you this. First of all, do we know, and I'm going to get to a couple more points in your article, which was well done, by the way, do we know whether or not the redneck school he's talking about is the Huntsville City School that he teaches at now, or was it another one?
I am currently working on that. There have been a few ideas thrown around as to which one it actually was. I looked, and from me, I think it may have been West Morgan in Trinity. It's a possibility. Of course, I'm trying to access the specifics, so that's merely speculation at this point. But I am currently working on that. But I can't say for sure.
Well, so here's the next thing that really caught me. I mean, just reading about this was maddening enough as it was. But then, you know, there's a whole thing about your first article you did about him doing drag queen story hour, the sexual innuendos and jokes that he was making in the presence of children, which were in the video. I had some trolls on social media saying, well, you can't see kids in the video. Yes, you can. At the very end, you sure can. There they are, front row. But he says in the end of your article, a quote from him on that podcast, that with regards to the second graders who knew they were non-binary and able to articulate it, he found the easiest way to get through to them is to read them a story. And which tells me for a fact, he was doing drag queen story hour with an agenda. It's not just fun time. It was an agenda, because that's how he gets through to them, is by reading them a story in his own words.
Yeah, that's definitely the case. And of course, it wasn't just that he described. He described going to gay affirming churches and doing the same thing. He said how it was important for children to see themselves in the stories that they're reading or that are being read to them. So he certainly sees the performances, the story hours, as a means of advocacy. And as to your point about the video, there's another video online that actually has the audio, bits of the audio of the podcast that I was referring to, overlaid with other video where he was clearly with children in restaurants and stuff like that. So
wow.
The whole point of children not being there in that specific video is kind of moot, because there are other videos, a plethora of other videos that shows him doing just that.
Well, so let me ask you this, Craig, as we wrap up our discussion here. Have you reached out to the Huntsville City School System? Have they responded at all on the question of his employment or anything else?
Okay, that is an interesting tidbit that I can't really share quite right now, but I will keep you posted personally, Phil, because I have reached out to Huntsville, and I've also received communication from members of the state school board, and I've gotten some information that I am checking the veracity of as we speak. I'm waiting on communication to come back to me. So this is developing, and by all accounts, it's going to be a very interesting development. I'll keep you updated.
My curiosity is piqued. All right. Well, listen, Craig Monger, thanks for staying on the story. I hate that you had to sit through those podcasts to get to it, but this is a story that needed to come out. And the idea that the guy just kind of got a pass and everybody quietly went on about their way and nobody said boo about it, and he came back to the classroom, and yet we're finding out now that this is his true agenda, this is what he does, that needed to come out, and I appreciate it.
Well, thank you. I'm happy to do it.
All right. Craig Monger, 1819 News. Keep doing what you're doing, man. And thanks for calling in today.
Thank you. You'll take it easy.
All right. Take care, Rod. All right, Boomer. Take us to a break, man, while I gather myself. And we'll wrap this thing up. When we get back, we'll wrap this thing up. Listen, I want to switch gears. This show is never designed to be just a gripe session. Let's talk about what you can do, what you as parents, grandparents, or just concerned citizens can do. I got some information on that. It's worth considering. And then bottom of the hour, we switch gears, go to number two in the triple dipper, defense spending. Boy, that's a switch. And we'll talk to Senator Tommy Tuberville about that. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Y'all stay tuned. We'll be right back. Back, Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Did not unmute my microphone. That Boomer just gives me the look like, you silly man. Anyway, Right Side Radio, solid conservative, just plain right with a microphone that's now hot. All right. Hey, listen, jumping back in, let's wrap this topic up. Woke education. So I will say this. Parents, you got to be active in your kids' lives, obviously. And let me also say, too, this is grandparents. This is aunts, uncles, legal guardians. This is concerned citizens. And I don't mean like you need to go and take ownership over those kids even though they're not yours. No, what I am saying, though, is you don't have to be a parent to speak out at a school board meeting. You don't have to be a parent to call your elected officials. You don't have to be a parent or grandparent or legal guardian of a child currently in the system to care about the curriculum being used in the system because it's your community. Because what happens in the realm of education very often is one of the things that's considered quality of life. When businesses, when people, individuals want to move to a place, they look to see things, and one of them they look at is, well, of course, like there's the economy, there's social life, there's churches, and there's education. And if you have concerns, you do not have to be the direct legal guardian slash parent slash grandparent or whatever of a child in the system to care about what happens in the education system, period. So let me just go ahead and affirm that right there. You're allowed to have an opinion and you're allowed to care. And you're also allowed to speak to a school board meeting because guess what? If you have an elected school board, you voted for them, whether you have a child in the system or not. If you have an appointed school board, guess what? You probably voted for the people that appointed them, whether you have a child in the system or not. So I got a piece here from the Daily Signal. Daily Signal came out August of this year. The headline on it is Practical Tools to Protect Your Kids from the Woke Agendas at School. I love that because I say all the time on the show, I never want this show just to become a gripe session. We're going to point things out. We're gonna opine. We're going to wind up, you know, having a little angst about stuff. But in the end, what I want this show to be about is, you know, what I call the four E's all the time. I say it. We're going to educate, enlighten, empower, and entertain you on what it means to be a conservative in this world. And one of the things that is so important is that you know how to go get active. Now, most of what I'm about to say is common sense, and some of y'all are going to go, oh, yeah, that's just, we already do that, Phil. Okay, great. Not everybody does. Let me throw down a few suggestions that came out of this article. Rather than just reading from the article, let me just kind of walk through some notes that I made out of it. Number one, form a group. What does that mean, Phil? I mean, form a group. Yeah. Find out that two or three of your friends are bothered. Several members of the PTA are bothered, or for that matter, maybe you feel like something's great and you don't want to see it messed up. And that makes a great point. There are wonderful, wonderful people that are educators today who are following a calling and getting paid, you know, not so much. And so I want to say that on the air right now. Thank you to those of you whose calling is to educate our kids, to love on our kids, to love them no matter what, and to, by the way, be there for them every day in the morning, and when their parents forget to pick them up, you're the one who stands there in the rain waiting for the parents to show up late for school to get them, and all those things. And I've got educators in my family. So that being said, thank you. There are some bad apples. They need to be dealt with. Form a group, number one. If you and some other parents, grandparents, concerned citizens have a care or concern that you feel like is not being addressed, then band together. Sometimes there's strength in numbers. Make a plan. Hey, you don't have to like form a corporation and, you know, file your paperwork with the Secretary of State and apply for nonprofit status to the IRS. Just get a group of folks together over coffee one day and say, how about we go to the next school board meeting? I'll go. If you'll speak, I'll speak. Okay. And the next thing you know, 5, 6, 7, 9, 12 of you show up. Makes a difference. It makes a difference. Here's the next one that came from the story. Know the laws of your state. Okay. You see something happening. What do the laws of your state say? Or how about this? You know, things like mask mandates. Do we have a law against that in Alabama? Or you're concerned about things like encouraging a child to get gender-affirming treatment, they call it. Do we have a law about that in the state of Alabama? And the answers to these questions are very likely yes, or at their work, for that matter, there might be a local regulation or a local school board policy. Know the laws of your state and locality. Know what they are, and you're better able to address it. That way, when you see something happening and you think, that shouldn't be happening, should it? You'll know. Next one, know your school board members. Your school board members are just normal men and women. They're just folks who go to the same restaurants, shop at the same malls, probably go to the same churches and synagogues as all the rest of us, and you see them out and about. Some of you know them personally, and if you don't, get to know them. Find out who represents your district or your portion of the community you live in, and just call and say, hey, can I introduce myself? I have a son, grandson, whatever. I have a child in the system, and you're my school board member. I just want to say hey, and then if I ever need something or have a concern, can I call you? Sure. I guarantee you they'll do it. In fact, they would love to hear from you, by the way, when nothing's wrong. So, I mean, if nothing's wrong, call and say, hey, nothing's wrong. I just want to make sure that you know who I am and I know who you are and how we reach each other. Folks, they are accessible. They are not on some ivory tower somewhere. They are right there in your community. They're just putting their pants on one leg at a time, like the rest of us. Here's the next one. Visit the classroom. This guy, Miller, is talking about how it was sneaky to him to put the books on the shelves and to hang the secret posters on the wall that had double meanings, and all these rubes in the redneck school where he was at didn't know what it meant. Go to the classroom. Go to the classroom and see what's on the shelf. Make an appointment. Go by the classroom. You can't show up during class time. That's disruptive. But you know what? You can show up at that classroom because your child's there. You can make an appointment with the principal and say, I just want to meet the teacher. We have PTA nights for that. I'm sorry. He teaches my child every day. I'd like to have an appointment, please. And then go in and just see what's up. Get to know the teacher. Get to know the teacher. And by the way, if the teacher's doing something right, thank them. Thank them. They will work 10 times harder knowing that someone actually thanked them one day than they will knowing that someone cussed them out on the street twice. I'm just telling you, they will. And the last thing I'll say is this. A great point, very practical in this article. Don't just sign the forms at the beginning of the school year without reading them. And if you see something in the form like you give consent for medical advice without having to call you, you're welcome to line that piece out and write it in the way you see fit, like except when it regards things like gender and that kind of. You don't have to just consent to everything. You can ask permission for it to be modified if you have concerns. Because it's a legal and binding agreement you're making with the school, make sure you know what it says. All right, there you go. Practical tools to protect your kids from the woke agendas at school. Coming up next, Senator Tommy Tuberville calling in. We'll be talking about the National Defense Authorization Act, defense spending, and where we're headed next. Y'all stay tuned. We'll be right back.